بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, let's recite the second one louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of that Imam. Let's recite the third one even louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being able to be back here and see all the brothers and sisters. And inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this gathering with what He knows best for us to inshallah be able to progress and get closer to Him inshallah. The topic that we are to be discussing over the course of these few nights is not an easy topic to discuss even in class. One of the most difficult subjects to be able to get our heads around properly understanding is divine justice. To understand three important areas of belief together, the last of which is divine justice. The first is Tawheed, in the full sense of the word. Secondly, free will, understanding human free will, and understanding that we make choices, understanding that and accepting that. And thirdly, divine justice, bringing these three together and having an understanding that we feel convinced, not openly convinced to the extent that like, okay, I get this, but where we feel content, we feel we like that, we feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel more humble, we feel the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That level of understanding is difficult. It's difficult in class, I'm telling you. These types of lectures, you know, we've had a hectic day, business, school, whatever it may be that we're going through. And then we come for a 45-minute talk, our attention span is not fully there either, and we only have 4 sessions, we want to talk about this. It's not something that we can have a full comprehensive discussion on. I remember teaching this subject on multiple occasions. We had to teach this in Qom, in the Hawza, to students. Sometimes beginner students, sometimes students that were a bit more advanced. And we would have a tough time. A very, very tough time. We'd have a tough time as a teacher trying to make sure if we fully understand it. If we want to be honest with ourselves, sometimes we can get up there and just give a talk and explain something and just repeat the words that are in the book, make it sound like I've understood it, but not really having understood it. It's just repeating what's in the book. But if I want to be honest with myself when I'm explaining it and a person raises an issue and I'm like, yeah, that's a question, that's a serious question there, and I don't have an answer for it, my explanation was not sufficient, and you want to do that, then you're going to start facing difficulty. And I went through some of those difficulties. I translated part of a book that part of that translation had to do with this topic. We did Tawheed, we did free will, we did divine justice, and we did a couple other areas as well for a summer camp. I did the translation, so I went through the material. I had studied it a few times, gone through the material a few times as a student. There's like three books we do in Qom. I had done it before going to Qom once, three times in the Hawza, and now I translated this. Now I go to class, I'm presenting it. Students are asking questions, and I'm like, they're right. There's a problem with that explanation. What is it? The reason why I'm saying all of this is for you to understand, for all of us to understand, these are matters that require thought. They require time. When we're hit with a situation, we start panicking, like, oh my God, let's find answers. Don't wait for something to happen to look for answers. Did you know your progress towards Allah depends on actually being able to process this concept? If you don't process this concept, along with the other two that I mentioned, Tawheed, your own free will, as well as divine justice, if you're not able to process that right, you're not going to be able to progress. You're not, you can't. Why? Why do we say this? One of the basic, well, there's 1,001 reasons maybe scholars could give you. Me not being a scholar, I don't have 1,001 reasons. One of the ahadith that we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen about Iman, true Iman, it says, Al-Iman lahu arkan arba'a. There are four pillars of Iman. One of them is ar-ridha biqada'illah. Be pleased with, all right? Not just okay, pleased with whatever God ordains. Whatever His decree is. Whatever He wants for you. In other words, whatever happens. You've got to be fully content at heart. Ridha is more than just being okay with it, okay? When you're, there's a funny story. They say this guy was, they gave him a piece of bread, and he was like, Alhamdulillah. He's like, oh, they just give you a piece of bread. You're like, Alhamdulillah, it's barely anything. He said, this Alhamdulillah is a lot of curse words. When I say Alhamdulillah like this to God, He knows what I'm saying. You're saying Alhamdulillah. But what you mean by that is, God, okay, all right. It's okay, just give me plain bread, all right, I'll be okay with it. But you know you can do more, you're not giving me enough. But I'll be a good servant. I'm being good here. Are we pleased? How can we be pleased if we haven't digested this, if we haven't comprehended this, if we haven't understood how it is that whatever happened is fully justified beyond our imagination? If we haven't processed that, at least, at the very least, we'll have a bunch of questions in mind about this, besides what atheists are raising today, besides all of that. You'd have a bunch of questions in mind about that. With those questions, you're not going to be able to progress. Amir al-Mu'mineen said you need to be content. You think you can sit there and say, oh, I'm content with this, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. No, it's not there. You can say it as much as you want, but then you hit one difficulty, you start throwing a fit, you start cursing the whole world. You don't curse God, but every curse that, you curse that car that just hit you, in reality, you are objecting to God's will. You're upset at what's happening. Who's responsible for what's happening? That's why I said it's Tawheed, free will, and divine justice. If you understand Tawheed to the full extent, that just, what just happened, that accident that just happened, is God's will. He made it happen. Yes, there's a person involved there. There's other people involved there. There's what we call human error. But every single one of those are elements within God's control and God's authority and God's will. Every bit of it is what God willed. You were not supposed to pay attention at that point. That's why you had that accident. Or the other driver, whichever it is. You're trying to be as careful as possible, make sure I put everything in. I'm going for the trip. You get there like, oh, I missed this. How many times did I tell you? You start finding somebody to blame. You start blaming your wife. How many times did I tell you? No, she wasn't supposed to remember. How can you be content with that? We haven't processed these. These are not matters that can be left to themselves just coming together. No, we need to spend time, think about it, converse, discuss, read. What's the best text? People go and look at books of aqa'id. They ask, okay, can you give me a book of aqidah? This scholar, that scholar. They're all fine, but the best book of aqidah is with all of us, the Qur'an. The Qur'an. Quran is a book that contains it in the best wording possible, the most accurate wording possible. So accurate, if you change the wording up, it's not going to mean the same thing. It won't be as accurate. And the works of all scholars is trying to get us there. So it's okay to look at that, but don't think that's final. Whose word is final? God's word. Quran is final. That's the most complete. Look at it, read it, try to find. It's unfortunate that we say we're Muslims, we say we believe in Quran, we say we believe in the Ahlul Bayt, but we don't listen to the Quran or the Ahlul Bayt. We don't even know what they have said. At best, we read Quran for what? For amwat, for thawab, for rewards, not for guidance. The Quran is guidance. The Qur'an is guidance. We should try to go through the verses of the Qur'an. And you need to do it. Every single one of us needs to do this. When we do it collectively and we have somebody presenting, that's something that we do collectively. But each and every one of us should be thinking, actually. Listen to what the verse is. Check the translation. Check whatever different translations they are. All of those translations are understandings of people. Compare them. See the differences. Try to think about it. Try to think of what makes sense. Check an Arabic dictionary, for example. Do some work. Think about what's being said. Don't say, oh, this verse says it. Why? This sheikh said. Who the heck is this sheikh? The Qur'an speaks for itself. He claims it says this, okay, let's go and check it. Let's go and see if it says this. We need to try to look at the Qur'an and try to understand this. If we want to talk about divine justice, there is no way to talk about it without talking about Tawheed. Without talking about the most fundamental pillar of our faith, Tawheed. If we start talking about divine justice without having understood Tawheed, at best we're going to be able to get where the Mufawwidha arrived at. Mufawwidha were a theological school of thought that believed God is just, and His justice is what we understand. What they ended up believing in is that God created the universe, He created the cosmos, He created mankind, but He created it in the form of a cause and effect system. Then once He created it, He left it to itself. God is not involved. Very dangerous belief. God is not involved in what happens in your daily lives. God is not involved in your decision-making process. God is not involved in society. God has nothing to do with what tyrants do. God has nothing to do with any of what happens in this universe. He has created it in the form of a system, and He has let it be. He's watching and observing, and He's got His angels making an account for every single soul of what they're doing and so on and so forth. But where is that person going to end up? According to them, God's not involved. I don't know how they say He knows. If He's not involved, then if contradicted, plenty of verses of the Holy Quran with this. If you don't talk about Tawheed, you want to talk about divine justice, this is where you're going to end up in. Or you will come to a point where you will repeat the wording of the Ahlul Bayt and say, La jabra wa la tafweed. It's not what the Mufawwidah said, that God created it and left it. And it's not jabr either. It's not what in English a lot of people say, predestination. Or in other words, what they mean is that you are doing what you're doing without free will, without your decision, without wanting. Your wanting has nothing to do with what happens. There's hadith that says it's not jabr, which I just explained, and it's not tafweed, what I previously explained, bal amrun bayn al amrayn. It's between the two. It's neither, it's somewhere in between. We can talk about that, we can use that wording, but then still be left without an in-depth understanding. Still, as I said, we're not going to be able to make progress. Still, when things happen, we're wondering. I don't attribute it to God. I'm like, okay, God can't have anything to do with that. That was a really bad thing that happened. How could He have anything to do with it? I keep God out of it, thinking that I'm doing a really good, covering up for God. We don't realize that we are committing the greatest oppression there is, which is shirk, by doing so. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ The Qur'an says. Shirk is a very great ظُلْم, oppression, great transgression. So we need to talk about Tawheed. There are many verses in the Holy Qur'an that talk about Tawheed that we should look at and we should try to process, think about, knowing that we're not going to have a full understanding of it by reading it once. Let's get this straight in our heads as well. We expect to be able to understand the depths of these verses by referring to it once. And then when we don't get it, we get upset, or we feel like it's not doable, or we feel like this language is not written in a way where I'm supposed to understand this. Let me go back to the scholar and see what the scholar said. No, that's a big mistake. Why does the Qur'an itself say, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ Whatever you can recite of it. Keep repeating those verses. Over and over we are taught, repeat it. In the holy month of Ramadan, we're told to go through the Qur'an 3 or 4 days once. In other words, if you do it every 3 days, you'll do 10 rounds of the Qur'an. Not just reading through it. Reading through it in order to understand. Why all that repetition? Because it requires repetition for us to get to it. Ulama studied the Qur'an for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Still they confess, if they are ulama, they confess, we don't know. This is the best I could think of. Wallahu al-alim, He knows, and I don't know. Okay. You have to keep looking, try to understand it. And try again and again and again and again until it starts speaking to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start speaking to you, each and every one of you. specifically through his words, through the Quran. There's many chapters, many verses. There's one chapter that is entirely dedicated to this. It's called Ikhlas or Tawheed. Qul huwallahu ahad. Very short chapter. I don't want to discuss the entire chapter. It's very in-depth. It's very brief, very concise in wording, very deep in meaning. Very deep. I want to just cover one verse, the last verse. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا or كُفُوًا or كُفُوًا, all three are correct, أحد. There's no كُف. There's no كُف. What is كُف? Someone who is considered a match, someone who matches the other one way or another. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Besides the first verse, which discusses the matter in another wording, and try to read it and try to understand it, and don't feel content with the understanding that you currently have, read it again and try to ask God to guide you to the actual meaning of it. There's a lot of meaning there. There are meanings that, as the Ahlul Bayt have said, Salman, the belief he had, if Abu Dharr knew, meaning if he heard what Salman believed in, he would have killed him because he thought that's kufr. The meaning is so in depth. The meaning is so difficult to comprehend. If you put it in a wording that's clear what it's being said, people who don't have that in-depth understanding are going to think it's shirk. They're going to think it's kufr. It's very difficult. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Amazing verse. Amazing verse. Some of our ulama, if they would explain the understanding that there is of that verse, we wouldn't be able to tolerate that. We would say, oh, this... I'll put one word out just because it's a credible scholar, and most of us here at least would not be able to question Allama Tabatabai, may Allah bless his soul. A great man, a great man. I haven't seen this, of course, from him, but I have heard a number of my teachers quote him on this, and therefore I trust it. You know that one of the polytheist religions of the world is Hinduism. They believe in multiple deities, right? Everything is pretty much a god. I haven't studied it. Allama Tabatabai had, and there's others who have, and pretty much anyone that I refer to, they seem to agree that it is said pretty much everything is a god, one way or another. It is said that Allama Tabatabai read their book, which I forget even the name of the book. What's that? No, not Allama Tabatabai's book. The Hindu's book. What's their... Whatever. I remember a different word, but I can't... So whatever their book is, I haven't read. He says, what that book contains is what the Quran says. However, it says it without disguising it in wording that doesn't confuse people. And so people have gotten confused and they think that there's multiple deities. No, that's not what that book says, and that's not correct. But if you were to put it out in a language that's easily understandable, meaning the words you think are easily understandable, the words are words that you and I are familiar with, what you'll end up leaving with is you think everything is God. You think everything is God. and you'll end up becoming a polytheist. The Quran disguises it. Whether that's accurate or not, I'm not trying to emphasize or suggest that that's necessarily very accurate. That's the view of one of our ulama, a credible scholar, that has spent a lot of time on the Quran. And we do have a hadith I just mentioned, something that Salman believed in. Abu Dharr, who is another great companion, but he's not able to comprehend, he's not able to process it. If Salman was to put it in wording that Abu Dharr would understand, in the sense that the words are understood, he would have considered that to be kufr. Yet it's actually deeper faith, it's tawheed on a much higher level. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have anything or anyone that can in any way be considered a match for Him. Just try to swallow that. Try to think about what that means. If you say, God is such, and then you say anything else is, whatever it may be, that God has, you're considering a kuf for Allah. There's a kuf in that aspect. As minute, as small as it may be. Okay. I'm not sure if I should say the next sentence or not. It's dangerous. Don't consider me kafir here. If you consider anything to exist, there will be a kufa for Allah in existence. And that's one of the greatest forms of shirk that you could ever imagine. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. Just think about it. Think of if that made sense to you. Don't start panicking like, oh, we're saying nothing exists. Whether we say that or not, and then you know, don't panic about, you know, can that even be true? Just think about this. The sentence says, لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There's not even one that in any way would be considered a kufu. If you say that something, not everything, just one thing, exists. God exists and something else exists. Would that not be a kufr for Allah? In that aspect, not in all aspects, just in one aspect, it's a kufr. The verse is emphasizing, لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْءًا أَحَدٌ. Think about it. Another verse. There are a few instances in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. And because it's so strange to us, we have, for the most part, as far as I've seen, even ulama have been afraid of saying this. Now I'm being very brave, because I'm nobody, I don't have any reputation. You can say whatever you want about me or against me. I'm just going to put it out very straightforward. Right? They've tried to change the meaning of the verse. The verse says, one of the instances is this, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything or everyone on it, the earth. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Fan is what they call in Arabic grammar ismu al-fa'il. And the timing, right, when you give a sentence, when you say such, when you say it's daytime, what's the time in that sentence? It's current, right? If I were to say it's daytime, you would turn around and say, that's not true. If I turn around and tell you, well, I meant it will be daytime tomorrow, you would say, well, you should have said it will be daytime tomorrow. Right now it's not. It's nighttime. The sun is down. You can't say it's daytime. Okay. The sun is not out. A sentence has timing in it. كل من عليها فان. Everything on earth is fan, gone, non-existent, annihilated, not there. كل من عليها فان. What's the timing of that? Just like I said in English too, if I say such and such is such and such, then it's current. Usually that's been translated for the future. Everything will be destroyed in the future. That's not what the verse says. It says, كل من عليها فان. Not سيكون فانن. كل من عليها فان. It's current. ويبقى. يبقى is فعل مضارع. It's present tense. ويبقى وجه ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. What remains is the face of your Lord. The only thing that is God's face. Whatever that means, I'm just using the wording from the Quran. What does it mean for something to be God's face? Think about it. A third verse and the last verse on that. These three are complementary verses. We started with the last verse of Surah Ikhlas. Then we went to Surah Ar-Rahman. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Last verse, Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. The east and the west belongs to Allah. Therefore, whatever direction you turn, it is the face of Allah. Now you may think that this is talking about direction. It's in the context of Qibla, by the way, those verses. The Jews were saying that first they were giving the Prophet a heck of a time saying, oh, you don't have a genuine religion, you've taken our Qibla. Then when the Qibla changed to the Kaaba, they said, oh, if you were genuine, if it was real, then you wouldn't have changed. See, he's not from God. Always gave trouble to the Prophet. God said, look, direction isn't even important. What's important is what I tell you. You listen to what I say. All of it is God's face. It's not like north belongs to Allah, south belongs to Shaitan. It all belongs to Allah. لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ. That's for the discussion and topic of Qibla, but look at it more carefully in regards to this topic, this discussion. لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. The east and the west belongs to Allah. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Therefore, whatever direction you face, it is the face of God. Alright? You may think this is talking about direction, but you remember Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sanatun wa la nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Everything in the heavens, not the east and the west, everything in the heavens and the earth all belongs to Allah. The verse there said, because east and west belong to Him, therefore whatever direction you face is the face of God. Ayatul Kursi says, everything belongs to Allah, therefore, whatever you face, anything that you can consider a thing in any way is wajhullah. Did that confuse you yet? Do we believe this? Do we understand this? Are we willing to accept this? It's a very important component. Tawheed. There's many books that contain this. Many of our adhkar contain this. When you do your dhikr in ruku' and sujood, you're supposed to be remembering this. They say it, they have said it. What does subhanallah mean? Tasbih. What does it mean? It means God is exalted. God is purer than to have any imperfection, any impurity, any flaw, any naqs, any shortcoming. The greatest naqs is to have someone that resembles him. That's why we started with that verse. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing, no one that in any way resembles him, existence being one of them. When you go to sajda, you say Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la wa bihamda. What you're supposed to be thinking of and saying to him is, I'm putting my forehead on this earth. We have a hadith that say this is a gesture reminding us of death. What that means is non-existence. I say Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la wa bihamda. God is far above and beyond than to have anyone, especially me, be resembling him in existence. I don't exist and he exists. That's what tasbih means in that position. Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la wa bihamda. That's what we're supposed to be. One reference for that is Liqa'ullah of Mirza Jawad Ghayy Maliki Tabrizi. If you could hear hands on the translation of that book. As I said, it's in the Quran, it's all over the Quran. If we just pay attention, if we don't translate or interpret the verses other than what the words say, the words God could have said, instead of kullu man alayha fan, he could have said kullu man alayha sayakun fanan. He didn't say that. He said kullu man alayha fan right now. That's his wording. Don't change it. What are we trying to get to? This is the most important element in understanding divine justice, brothers and sisters. If we don't get this straight, there is absolutely no way of understanding divine justice. Guarantee it. I guarantee it. I've discussed this inside out with so many people. The problem, the crux of the matter, that people are not able to swallow divine justice is because they didn't get this very teaching right. This is not there. If you correct this thought process in your head, in your understanding, then it's very easy to understand divine justice. Very easy. I'm not gonna, because as I said, this is a difficult topic and it requires time and it requires full attention. I'm not gonna continue any further. This will be it for tonight, but let me just wrap up what we came to, all right? Very explicitly and very clearly. We are saying, based on the verses of the Holy Quran, the meaning of Tawheed is that there's only one actual existent, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else has any existence of themselves. Nothing else. You and I do not have existence. The moment you say, or I say, I exist, I am saying I have my own existence. Subconsciously, I am considering myself to be independent of God. I have my own existence. Okay? That's the first wrong foundation moving forward. You have to remove that. Take that out completely. No, I have zero existence. He has 100% existence. What are we? I'll use the wording of the Quran. Forget all the words used in a philosophy of Mullah Sadr or whatever. Leave out all that terminology. I'm not against them, by the way. I'm not against any, you know, all these people that try to be against this scholar or against that scholar. No, alhamdulillah, we have amazing scholars and they have their differences of opinion. They're all great people. What I emphasize is, let's realize the Quran has already given us wording. Wajhullah. Wajhullah. كل من عليها فان, everything is non-existent except for وجه الله. What is? It's God's face. We'll use that term. I don't exist. I don't have my own existence. I'm not in any way dependent. And it's not me. It's not a privilege for me. I'm saying I am not. I don't exist. What exists is God's face. It's not a privilege for me. It means I don't exist. There is no I for it to have any type of privilege. There's only one actual existence. Everything else is wajhullah. It's His face. Everything else. Even when you use the word manifestation, then I feel that we're moving away from the wording of the Qur'an and we start developing maybe a very light shade, but still a shade of independence. A shade of it, just a bit of it. Just repeat the verse of the Qur'an. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That's what we are coming away from in this session. And then inshallah, tomorrow onwards, we'll try to connect that with the concept of divine justice. In theory, the first step is to understand it in theory before getting into all of the issues and the problems that have been raised. First, have that fundamental understanding. Then let's look at the words of others. Let's look at what the atheists have said. And then check it with our understanding and see if our understanding already responds to that and clarifies that, or we need to further explain things. Okay. And hopefully we'll come to an understanding that no, it's already been answered. But I know because it's difficult to fully get the meaning of that, we will have to cover some of what has been mentioned by different people who question God's existence based on divine justice. Right? And it causes people to stop believing in God entirely when they can't resolve issues related to divine justice. Inshallah, we'll try to move forward with the discussion tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what was said and what was heard as His worship, and for it to get us closer to Him and to the Imam of our time, inshallah. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Please recite the salawat.